All right. Well, let's. I'm gonna review a little bit, and then I'll get into the part that I ran out of time for last week. But we were talking about relationships, and I blew your mind with this highly technical chart here. And on the chart, we have time going this way, strength of relationship going this way, and you know, we all have our own line with whoever we're in a relationship with, whether it's our wife, whether it's our friend, whether it's somebody at work, people that we interact with, we're in a relationship with, things ebb and flow. And, you know, if you all remember, I drew a line up here. That's kind of the baseline, the benchmark. And this was the Trinity, the perfect relationship. And so the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other. It's perfect. They invite us into that relationship. You know, that's one dimension, is being able to plug ourselves into that and allowing them, you know, through that relationship to change us into their image. And then the second dimension is allowing us to reach down and grab other people through relationship and invite them into that same relationship. So one of the things that I proposed to us last week was that verse in Ecclesiastes about the threefold cord, right? And how that cord is attached to heaven. That's one of them. You know, we're the second. Whoever in relationship with is the third of the threefold cord. And so in my example here, I used my wife and I. She wasn't here, so I got to use her as an example. You know, we got married and we had to get on the merry-go-round of this chart here somewhere. So it wasn't too bad when we got married. You know, and as you go through life, things get better. I think my illustration here was, I decided one day I didn't want to do the dishes, and I put my foot down, and things deteriorated a little bit. And so whether it's dishes or whether it's something serious, you know, you've got your own line. You know what your own situations are. And, you know, towards the end, I talked about that third fold cord coming down right here. Actually, it's coming on down here. And I said, that thing will go as far as it needs to go. But it takes somebody to grab onto it and the other person. Bring them back up, get things moving in the right direction again. And then I said that sometimes you grab onto the rope and you reach down for the other person and the other person kicks you off the rope and you got to do it again, right? And we read several scriptures that talked about, you know, unity and as far as it depends on us, live at peace with all men and things like that. And we were looking for a place where we were allowed to get upset and we were allowed to get offended and we were allowed to get all these other things that are absolutely easy to do, but we couldn't find them. I don't know if anybody found any this week. I haven't found any this week. I found a few more in the other direction. So anyway, this is where we left it. That cord is there from heaven for us to grab onto and to grab a hold of the people that we're in relationship with all the time. And there's a word that I love. I've loved this word for a long time, and I use this word a lot. It's called fullness. The Trinity is a full relationship. It doesn't get any fuller than their relationship. They love everything. You know, they go to fish fries together. They play music together. Whatever they do together is perfect because it's who they are. And that's where we're headed. You know, that's where the Lord takes us through sanctification, through intimacy, that weird word that is hard for me to even say sometimes, is, you know, he deals with stuff in our lives that allows us to operate more fully than we did before, gives us more wisdom than we had before, gives us ability to handle conflict in better ways than we did before. And so it's really, who doesn't want fullness in their life? Who doesn't want, you know, better relationships with their family and their friends and, you know, all that stuff trickles down into what we think of as secular too, and I used the workplace last week as an illustration. But whether we're saved or whether we're not, all this stuff applies no matter where we are in life. So, you know, maybe you gain a couple nuggets just in that while we're talking about this stuff. And so there's a, when you think about fullness and when you think about that relationship, there's a concept, there's two concepts. I'm going to call it be and do. Okay? And I want to camp on this for a minute here because I think this is critical to a lot of things. Being and doing in the context of a relationship. A lot of times in our culture, there's a lot of doing. Sunday mornings, there's a lot of doing, right? And belonging. I don't know if there's a word called do-longing or not, but let me illustrate that a little bit. You know, you've got some people that you're wondering about that you think are all right. And so you start spending time with those people. And there's two ways this can go. You can either be yourself and hope that they'll be themselves and you can make a natural connection, or you can do something to try to prove your worth, or they might do something to prove their worth, and it kind of creates a superficial relationship. Does that make sense? And I don't know. I'm not an expert on this stuff. I've experienced some stuff, and I talk to the Lord a lot about this stuff because I think it's cool. But for me, when I learned to be a son of the Father, that's step number one, because I had to get this right with me and him. Not perfect, but I had some stuff there. And so when the Lord was able to help move me away from some of that stuff and help me see things differently and to relax and just be comfortable in my own skin, that really, I mean, I can't even really put words to it. It was profound. It was transformational. You know, my life changed dramatically when that happened, and it wasn't all that long ago, to where I was just comfortable with myself, and that allowed me to, something rose up in there that said, man, there's all these people out here that I want to get to know. And before that, it was like, I don't want anybody's problems. I got enough of my own. So I just want to propose that to you, to think about it for yourself and think about it for the people that you're in relationships with. Are we being here or are we doing? Because I think if we're doing, we're wasting our time. And time is precious, especially as you get older in life and busier in life and more responsibilities. When I have spare time, I want to be. And I want that being to carry over into my workplace where, you know, that environment changes too because I'm comfortable, because I'm relaxed, because I got peace inside. Okay. Mike, can you put Philippians 2 up for me? This was one of the verses that we used last week. And I want to kind of review. We're going to read 1 through 9 again out loud, so just bear with me. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, I didn't even plan that. If any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. So you read through that, and Paul's talking about making Paul's joy complete is when he sees his brothers and sisters united in Christ with the same spirit as Christ, moving forward in unity. So here's something that occurred to me this morning. We had all those kids up here singing, and Craig says, yeah, we got to have a fish fry to whatever. You remember what he said. But you know what? To use the vernacular of someone who fries catfish, it ain't about the fish fry. It's about preferring one another. It's about, you know, making the time in your schedule to go be with other believers that are full, you know? And, man, things just happen, and things will continue to happen. And I am thoroughly convinced of the fact that, you know, to the extent that we can move forward in this, personally first, our family second, our church family third, we're going to add other churches to this inertia. How about that for a word? That's going on in the area, and it's going to be awesome. I mean, man, I'm just excited. I'm excited to be getting to know you all better. And as I do, I mean, it's cool. I like it. I get to be me, and everybody's good with it so far, so that's cool. But things are going to happen, and we are being prepared to move forward in new and different ways together, you know, arm in arm, knowing how each one of us is going to respond in certain situations. And that's really important, because when the dominoes start to fall and momentum builds in this area, we have to be like-minded. We have to be unified. Then it's also a process of, you know, marriage, my illustration. When you first get together, everything's great. But over time, you don't have perfect knowledge of your spouse when you get married. You have a pretty good idea. The rest of it you take on faith. We don't have a perfect knowledge of each other in our relationship, but we're taking it on faith, right? And we're moving forward, trusting that God's going to work in each of us. He's going to do something great with us all, individually and corporately. But there's going to be a dip somewhere, and we have to be prepared for that, because that's when the wheels fall off the train and the momentum that God has in this region gets stymied, because we don't know how to manage the conflict. We don't know how to, I shouldn't say we don't know how, that's not true, but there's the enemy's hard after that. And so when things fall apart, man, he's coming in strong, trying to derail everything that's happening. And so we need to be prepared for that, and we need to trust and be accountable to one another, to be able to look each other in the eye and say, I don't agree with you, but I love you, and we're going to move through this. So hang on. I'm holding on up here, and I'm grabbing somebody, and we're gonna move through it. Psalm 133, Mike. This was part two from last week. And it's a pretty short chapter. I think there's only like four verses. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. So get a picture here in your mind of the oil. And it starts out, how blessed is the unity of the brothers and sisters. That's us, okay? When we're united, oil starts to flow, according to the first verse there, second verse maybe. And then you think about, it references Aaron. Aaron is the priest, right? And so our unity starts a trickle of oil that covers our leaders. You know, pick whoever your leader is. We can use Craig for the illustration since he's the leader over this house. And then it flows down over Craig, over all the parts of the body, and it starts to drip off the fringe of the garment. Is that lucid enough for you? Can you see that? I think that as we become more unified, as we move together in that unity, as we understand it and we know how it works, and that oil starts to flow, we are going to affect the fringes of this region. Because that's how God designed it. I mean, I don't know if it's the chicken and the egg, but I'm totally down with unity and, you know, getting to know y'all more and moving forward in this region with you and trying to move into that fullness that God has for the region. And in the process, that fullness will come on us too in our personal lives and personal circumstances. And it's unity is not uniformity. You know, we got to understand that too. Because, you know, you go back to the analogy of the body of Christ, not everybody is an arm, right? But we work together. And so each of us has a mission critical part to play in what the Lord wants to do through this body and through the other churches in this region and in our individual homes. And you dial it all the way back. There is a term called synergy, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I think it's the definition. I didn't write that down, but it sounds good. And that's it. I mean, that's I think that's what we're after. I think that's the Lord's way in this, is that, you know, when we're in fellowship corporately and we have a strong relationship that the Lord is the center of, that we can do more corporately, the whole will be greater than the sum of its parts. And so that's my proposition, one of my propositions for you today, is to see how that fits you. You know, see if you can subscribe to that. And so all this stuff is good, and we know it's good. You know, intuitively, I don't think I'm just speaking for myself. I think intuitively we know that what I'm talking about at least makes sense. Why is it so hard? Yeah, I mean, it is so much easier to go negative when problems arise. It's so much easier to withdraw when there's a conflict and go stick your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't exist. I know the enemy's part of it. I don't know if it's our sinful nature. I don't know, but none of that really matters because we have the answers. It's just a matter of discipline in our lives to understand that the greatest good means putting my head down and moving through these tough situations honorably, in love and peace, and coming out the other end stronger. Because every time we face something in life, it's an opportunity to build our strength, to get an upgrade. And, I mean, sometimes you don't even feel like it. I'll be the first one to tell you, sometimes I don't want to upgrade. I'm tired. I need a break, Lord. Well, guess what? He knows best. And that's when we got to trust in Him. So I made a list of several things here as I was thinking about obstacles to being able to have quality relationships and move through problems in life. And I'm going to relate these to a couple things along the way. We talked about breaking chains this morning, right? And so each one of these is like a handcuff. You wake up in the morning, you can either put it on yourself or you can look at it and say, you stay there, I'm moving on. And then we had a word a couple weeks ago about stagnant water, right? And a river, so I'm going to reference the river a little bit here, too, as we talk through these. The first one on my list, probably because it's the one that I think affected me the most greatly, is hard hearts. That's a big subject in and of itself. You get several messages talking about hard hearts. But you know, stuff happens to us in life, and especially when you're a child and you aren't really properly equipped to deal with stuff, you can develop a hard heart without really even knowing it, and you don't even know you've got it until you don't have it anymore. And you can see how your life changes, and you can see how you get to be finally, and how you get to enjoy other people's company finally, because there's no agenda, because you're not walled off anymore. So with a hard heart, I mean, we all know how they're formed over time with pain and hurt, and rather than, again, moving through things in maturity, you bottle it up. And when you bottle it up, it makes a hard shell that the river can't flow in and out of, or it's restricted, okay? So that hard heart is a handcuff. And even after you've been set free of some of that stuff, you still have choices to make every time something happens. When somebody hurts you, you can put that handcuff on and say, I'm going to take that pain, I'm going to tuck it down there, it'll be okay. And it won't be okay. You know, it might feel good for a little bit, but it is not. It is not the Lord's way. You're not meant to carry that pain. You're meant to give it with Him. And so, if nothing else, turn back to God and say, Lord, take this from me. You said you would. Anyway, you know, hard hearts are a problem. Because they block the flow of the river. Next one on the list. I don't know, I didn't intentionally put these in priority of my life, but here they are nonetheless. Toil. Busyness. You know, it's a crazy busy society that we live in. And it's almost like if you're not busy, something's wrong with you. So, you know, here we are already in the fact that we know we need to have more margin in our lives. We know we need to set the toil down and rest in the Lord. But right off the bat, if you're not busy, what's wrong with you? You know, don't you have a life? Don't you want to do all this other stuff that everybody else does? Man, I used to... Being normal was, I don't know, I can't really say it was life critical to me, but I always patterned my life to not stray too far from the norm. You know what I mean? Some people don't have a problem with that, and that's a gift from the Lord. So, you know, that's a cool thing. Ecclesiastes 4, it's really the same passage as the threefold cord. If you read at the beginning of Ecclesiastes 4, it talks about toil and how it's meaningless and how, you know, chasing the wind, what have you. Toil robs you from rest and keeps you from staying full. You know, fullness is up here. That's where we need to try to reside, is in that place where we're full. That way, when stuff comes at us, we leak a little bit. It might drain us down a little bit, but we've got a big reserve there. If you're running on empty through life and something blows up, you know, it's way more difficult. Number three, we have offense. And, I mean, we've all seen people that have been offended. We've all been offended. And this is nothing new here. It's merely pointing out some of these things so that we can be conscious of them, so that we can manage our own relationships better. But offense, somebody says something hurtful to you. Somebody doesn't give you the opportunity that you thought you were entitled to. You can pick up the handcuff and put it on. Or you can give it to the Lord, keep moving forward. And you can reconcile with that person. keep moving forward. Might not be right away, but the Lord's good like that. I think we would be surprised if we were able to move through these situations the way that He instructs us to, how much reconciliation would come from that. You know, offense, I think, poisons the water. Because everybody's got a river that wants to flow through them. It's called the Holy Spirit. Some people, when they get offended, though, that it's like the water's no good when it comes out the other side, because the life that they're trying to give you is tainted with something. And so, you know, offense is no good. The next one is complacency. And this one is kind of unique. We're talking about the tribe of Asher this morning, how Asher didn't want to go to war. So maybe he had a little bit of complacency. I don't know. But I had an illustration for this that I want to give, because I think it will kind of drive home complacency. You know, if you have children, and I love using children for illustrations, when your son or your daughter comes to you and they're burning for something, they're on fire for something, you know, as a parent, you're gonna pour every resource you got into that flame to watch them succeed, right? But complacency is, you're not so motivated. You know what I mean? The child's not that motivated, and you're trying to push them, but that's not real effective either, right? So can you take that picture and turn it on ourselves with the Lord? He wants us to be in full relationships. If we're complacent about it, there's only so much He can do to improve our situations. If we're relentless a little bit, He's going to come to our backside and give us everything He's got to help move forward, because His kingdom moves forward. The next one is fear. And I think fear, when I look at my own life, was one that held me back a lot, because, again, I wasn't really comfortable with myself, so it was hard for me to be myself in the midst of other people. And there's always a certain amount of anxiety involved in that, because, I don't know, it's like when you're feeling that anxiety, it's uncomfortable, and if I just stay home, I don't have to worry about it. But I'm here to tell you, I missed a lot of life with that attitude, and I don't want to see anybody miss a lot of life because of anxiety. Because, I mean, when the change happened in my life, and it happened over the course of, I don't know, I mean, there was two or three different marked events that I remember well, but that was a 12 to 18 month period of time. And at first it was like, yeah, I still wasn't sure I wanted to get out there and be around all those people, but something happened to me and I liked it and I wanted to keep moving forward in it. And so I got off my complacency and said, Lord, here we go. And He was faithful, man. He showed me things, and He helped me make some deep friendships that I'd never really experienced before, that I still have to this day. And it was right. It was very right. But fear, when you choose a relationship, it requires things of you that can sometimes incite that fear. It requires some time. It requires some risk. Well, what if they don't like me? What if they think I'm weird? It requires some vulnerability, because when you're in a relationship with somebody, at some point, they're going to get to know you. And if they don't, it ain't working too good. So you have to be vulnerable. I'm not talking about weird vulnerable. I'm just talking about being able to talk through things and give people the benefit of the doubt. And this last one, people have messes. You know, we all have our own messes, right? Sometimes we're reluctant to get into relationships because we don't want to burden other people with our mess. And that's no good either. But that door swings both ways. So don't be afraid to get into a relationship because you're scared of a mess. And don't be afraid to go into a relationship because of your mess, because the relationship will help you clean up your mess and their mess. And that's the way that it works. Oppression. It talks about this in Ecclesiastes 4 as well. And oppression, let me back up here. I forgot about this. With fear, and you have to, that requirement on a relationship, you have to share your water. And this occurred to me as I was putting this together, is sometimes people don't want to share their water. You know, sometimes people want to come Sunday morning and drink from heaven, get filled up, and I don't know what they do with it all week long. But it's meant to share. So back to oppression. And along with oppression is a concept called poverty mindset. And that, again, big subject in and of itself. But when in your life you can't get your head above the water, you're not in the right pool, number one. But it's hard. You know, it's hard to, when you're out of steam because of circumstances, because I can't pay the bills, because I'm having all these problems, because my family's sick. When you're oppressed by that stuff, it restricts the flow. And everything suffers accordingly. And there's no lack in God's kingdom. And so, as we're able to navigate our full relationship with the Lord and receive all those things from Him that we need to deal with that oppression, you know, it becomes a testimony, and through relationship we're able to help other people. The last one here is called pride. And, you know, these are all fairly big. But pride is, I don't know. I don't even know how to articulate this one, really. But for me, the number one culprit is, you know, doing something at somebody else's expense. You know, that's a choice that we make. And I've had too many of those. And it's a barrier, because it's like, let's say you do that to somebody, that you put them down to lift yourself up. It's hard to recover from that one with that person. So you got two choices. Three choices. You can either keep moving forward. Don't worry about that person. Let that callous form, because you know what you did was wrong. You can repent to the Lord on it and never reconcile with that person, which is a little better. Or you can go full on, give it to the Lord and reconcile with that person, apologizing, whatever you need to do. So, you know, all these things restrict the flow of what God wants to do. All these things are choices that we have to make every day. And all these things stand in the way of a full relationship between us and the Lord, and between us and other people. Because if it's between us and the Lord, we're kind of handicapped going through life. You know, we sang that song this morning, Reckless Love. And one of the things that we talked about last week with the scriptures that we used was seeing people like Jesus sees people. And whenever you're in the midst of any of these obstacles, being able to see the other person, the person that offended you, the person that makes you toil, the complacent person, doesn't matter who it is, when you're able to see people like Jesus sees people, something should come alive inside you that is going to give you what you need to navigate. And I don't know, Jesus doesn't look at people and see the problems. He looks at people and sees the promises. And so that's a key ingredient here, is it doesn't matter who it is, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be strong enough in our relationship with Him that we can have His eyes towards the people that we're working with. And I think if we can get to that point, the rest will take care of itself, because our heart will be right. We'll be seeing right. That funnel from heaven will be open, and He'll give us the wisdom internally to know how to move through those obstacles and reconcile the situation and elevate the relationship and bring unity and bring people closer together, or bring churches closer together, and change the culture of a community. So when we look at people like Jesus does, it does two things. It keeps us from digressing, going into our shell, going negative, whatever the case may be. And it allows us to reach down and get a hold of that other person, because we've got one hand in heaven grabbing what's up there to bring it to bear on the problem down here. When I was putting this together, the Lord spoke to me a word for you all. He said, I want to break off some things that are keeping you from all I have to offer. And so I'm going to be faithful and share that. I don't expect a moment out of this. But that is truly the Lord's heart for every person, is to break off some things that are keeping us from all He has to offer. Because free people, free people. There's 100 other cliches there, right? When we can own our stuff, when we can give it to the Lord, when we allow Him to change us, we enter into more fullness. And when we enter into more fullness, all those things become our testimony, and we're able to minister to other people out of that same spot that used to be our weakness. And so I want to add to that a little bit and say, just to repeat, that the Lord wants to break some things off of us, corporately, that are keeping us from all He has to offer. And starting to get into this other dimension here, where we're united, moving forward, arm in arm, locking arms with other churches, and affecting our area. And I left out one point here that I'm going to backtrack on. The cord that comes down from heaven, when you look at that in the context of Psalm 133, that's where the oil comes from, right? And so you're holding on to the rope, and the oil starts to flow. And we've hit this a few different ways, but I want to get a picture going here for you. I think that when you look at that illustration, when you find yourself in a conflict and there's no oil present, I think the default mode is peace, harmony. There, in those four scriptures we read last week, there was a lot of things that were somewhat passive. It wasn't a hammer dealing with the problem, because there's no oil there. Okay, and I think when we deliver the correction in a conflict, oil needs to be present. Or we might hurt somebody. We might go backwards instead of forwards. So I just wanted to throw that in there. and let y'all stew on that a little bit. But I think we should endeavor to have oil present whenever we have a conflict, because we're going to have them. And we've already decided that if we're going to move forward in this thing together, we've got to be able to move through these things, right? So, again, man, this is, I love this stuff because I love getting to know people. And I hope I don't come across too strong on some of this stuff out of my zeal for it. But I feel the Lord's peace on it. And I think that it is His call to us in this season to become unified and to move into this other dimension that I keep talking about, so that when the community starts to come through the doors here, we're ready. So, Father, I thank You again for this word. I thank You for these brothers and sisters and friends. Lord, I just pray Your fullness will permeate our lives even more, God, that we would just we would learn how to have healthier relationships, Lord, that the oil from heaven would flow into every relationship that we're in, doesn't matter where it is, God, and that You would just use us in a mighty way to advance Your kingdom, to bring peace into our homes, to bring joy into our workplaces. The list goes on, Father. That's Your will. That's what heaven is all about, is bringing the fruit of Your Spirit into our everyday lives. And so I thank You, Lord, for being with us. And just pray that You just give us these gentle reminders this week, Father, as obstacles come up, Lord, that we would choose life, that we'd kick that handcuff across the floor, and that we'd keep the river flowing. In Jesus' name, amen.